Who's the temple today?
We are.
Keep that in mind as we get going with this message, right? Does he still cleanse the temple?
He does.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about that, right? But first of all, there was a little boy, and the little boy went to Sunday school in the same church for many, many years. He had the same Sunday school teacher that he always had, and she gave wonderful lessons. And at the end of every lesson, she would then say, and the moral of the story is, and she would explain that. Every single Sunday school lesson, every single Sunday, she'd give a wonderful Sunday school lesson to the kids. And she would end that lesson with, and the moral of the story is, and she would explain that. Well, this young boy was having her for like 6 years, and he moved up to junior high, and he got a new teacher. And that Sunday when he went home, having not heard that ending remark, his mother said to him, well, how is your new Sunday school teacher? He said, well, she's pretty good, but she has no morals at all. Anybody here have no morals at all? Oh, there's one back there. No morals at all. Woo! Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 21. And we're going to read verses 1 to 11 so we get ready for the story. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11.
Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.
How many have heard that story before? How many have heard that story many times before? How many probably could recite that story? You know, sometimes when you hear something over and over and over, it becomes just words. Sometimes you hear something so often, it becomes so familiar, it loses its meaning. It just becomes a what? A story. And there are many stories in the Bible that many of us could talk about. In fact, as we heard it over and over and over, and for many of us, it becomes a what? A story. And many of us can recite many stories. And many of the stories that we all could remember and recite started out once upon a time. How many know at least some stories that start with once upon a time?
Long, long, long ago.
In a far distant land. And they always end with, and they lived happily ever after. How many know stories like that? Unfortunately, with those kinds of stories, they become just stories. Have you heard about two guys? No, that's a different story. In some ways, this becomes a story. Just a story. But today, we want to look at the significance of the story. So if we go back to the first verse there, Michelle. This story that you know so well marks the final week of the life of Jesus the Christ. This final week. This was his final week. Up to this point, Jesus often said to people, who saw the miracles that he did, who knew who he was. Up to this point, he would always say to the people, tell what? No one. Tell no one. Isn't that something? Don't tell anybody what you saw. Don't tell anybody who I am. Keep it to yourself. I wonder here today, church, if you could do miraculous things like that, would you say to somebody, don't tell anybody what you saw? Or would you want to get a white Nehru jacket? I don't even know why I said that. Would you tell everybody what you could do? Or would you tell what? No one. Up to this point, Jesus Christ is going away from the adoring crowds. He doesn't want to stand there and sign autographs. He doesn't want to get a selfie with people. What's he doing? Going off. I don't need adoration. You need to adore my Father. Up to this point. Up to this point, he's been very to himself. And now things are going to change. Up to this point, very standoffish as far as, don't bring any attention to me. And now, the final week of his life, it's now time to make a public statement that he is who? He's Christ. And that statement, that bold statement, is going to cost him what? His life. Up until this point, he's been very low-key. Very low-key. And now things are going to change. This is the final week of Christ. This is the week where he's betrayed by a friend's kiss, denied by a friend, turned over to be crucified, people shouting, give us Barabbas. He's been shunned by the crowd. He's going to get beat and whipped and kicked and punched and spit upon. Put a crown of thorn on his head. He's going to be nailed to a tree. He's going to die. He's going to be laid in a borrowed tomb. That's what happens the final week of Christ's life. Sometimes we forget all that. But the good news here today, church, is when it seems like Friday night, Sunday's on the way. And that's worth repeating. When it seems like Friday night, and everything is gone, guess what? Sunday is on the way. There's five things that we want to stress today with this story that you probably never, ever thought about. There are five things here we're going to stress about this story. Five things going on with the Jerusalem entry. The first is there's obedience, worship, curiosity, cleansing, and opposition. And I want to show that to you. When I was sick, recovering from surgery, Elder Bob brought a message. I think the message was entitled, Why Are You Here? Why Are You Here? That was a good message. Why Are You Here? And I'm not going to steal that thunder. Yes, I am. Why are you here? Today, Palm Sunday, why are you here? Some people came to get the palm branches. And the reason why I know that that is so, probably not you guys, I know all you guys, but I, with what I do, I have 600 people that I take care of. 600 people. 150 people in each of four centers. And I do worship services. And do you know what was on everybody's mind Friday when I left? Pastor Tom! Pastor Tom, are you going to bring us what? Palm branches. Not are you going to bring us the word of Christ. Amen. Oh no, not you're going to give me truth and hope. Oh no, you're not going to bring salvation, but were you going to bring me what? Them palm branches. Bring me the palm branches. Now, I'm not making a lot of fun of that, but there's more important things to the palm branches than palm branches. Amen. Right? Yeah. These things are nice, our traditions are nice, but we ought to bring the word of God before we bring the palm branches. Amen. So why are you here? I want us to look today at verse 6. Verse 6. Can you read that for me, Sue? Verse 6.
So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them.
You see that? And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They didn't say, why? They didn't say, what's in it for me? They didn't say, there must be an easier way than this. They didn't question. They just what?
Obeyed.
They didn't change it. They didn't twist something around. They didn't decide for themselves they didn't like something. They didn't remove something from the message because they didn't agree with it. They just obeyed. How many have a hard time with obedience? I mean, let's be real here, right? We all have a hard time with obedience. We do not like to have somebody over us. Do we? No. How long has that been going on? A long time. As a matter of fact, many of us in this room do not have to get up on a Sunday morning and practice being you before you get here. How many of you got you honed pretty good by now? How many know most of the things that you do are on autopilot? Yeah. Autopilot. How many of you are going to have a conversation with somebody and you're getting a little heated? And I often say this, and you got the phrase right here. And you're saying to yourself, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to use that one. I'm not. No. How many do it anyhow? And the disciples are being obedient. And it's important to understand, they're not changing it. They're not doing what they want to do. They're not questioning it. They're just simply what?
Obeying.
Do you obey Him too? All the time? I mean, do you obey the Lord's commandments every time? Or do you want to change it sometimes to suit your own desires? Sometimes you look at God's Word and you say, well, that's what that says, but that's not what that
means.
I wonder how many of us do that. Jesus said to them, go, and you're going to find a donkey tied. And if the owner of the donkey says to you, well, what do you have need of it for? You say to him, my master needs it. And why did Jesus tell them to do that? Because he's fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9, I should have put that up there. Chapter 9, verse 9, that says he will come riding on the back of a donkey. And Jesus Christ was being obedient to his Father by fulfilling that prophecy. And Zechariah wrote that in 500 B.C. Now let me explain this to you. Zechariah wrote that before Jesus Christ rode on the donkey. Now I want to tell you this. Theoretically and scientifically, for one person to fulfill 9 prophecies in their truth. You got that? For one person to write something and come to pass 9 times would be like taking a silver dollar, 10 trillion silver dollars, and putting a red X on one of them. And $10 trillion worth of silver dollars, you can take it in the state of Texas and lay it on every square inch of the whole state of Texas too deep. You got this? $10 trillion silver dollars too deep, lay it on every square inch of the state of Texas and telling a blind man, go find the one that's got the X on it. That is more probable than somebody writing 9 prophecies that come in the past. And Jesus fulfilled 300 of them. 300. Jesus says, go. And you will find a donkey tied up. If the guy says to you, what do you want to do with it? You say, My master has need of it. Now, it doesn't tell you in Matthew that they had a disagreement, but in Luke it does. In Luke it does. Are you obedient? Are you obedient to the Lord in all things? Or is there a time that the obedience has to be if you approve of it? The obedience is if you agree with it. The obedience is if you see the same goal. They didn't question. They say, why? They just what? Just did it. This morning, on Palm Sunday 2016, you're coming in, worshiping the Lord. Do you obey? Do you obey? Let's turn to John 14, 15. John 14, 15.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
That's pretty simple stuff. Isn't it? I mean, that's pretty simple stuff. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many of them? All of them. All of them. How about the ones you disagree with? Especially those ones, right? How about the ones where the world doesn't agree with you? How about those ones? How many know it's easy to keep the things you agree with? Isn't it? How much effort does that take?
None.
It's difficult to keep the ones you don't agree with. And I won't even ask you this morning, are there some you don't agree with? Because I know there are. How about that love your enemy one? Let me find that a little tricky. The love your enemy one. And so we know for absolutely sure that there was obedience on that Palm Sunday. And there was also worship. There was worship. We know that when he came in, what was people doing? Take your palm branches, wave your palm branches, right? Wave. They were worshiping him. They put palm branches on the ground. But what happened first? What happened first? We absolutely know for positively sure that the disciples laid their cloaks on the donkey. You know why that is important, church? Because the disciples led the worship. Led the worship. They started it. If the disciples are not going to lead worship, then who is? If the disciples are not going to proclaim him as Messiah, then who is? If the disciples are not going to tell people about Christ, who will? If the disciples are not bold in their worship and bold in their praise and bold in their prayers, who is? Who's going to start? Who's going to lead? Well, guess who the disciples of Christ are now? You. You. Are you bold in your worship? Are you bold in your praise? Are you bold in your prayer? Are you bold in your proclamation? Are you bold outside of this building on a Sunday morning? I once told somebody, it's absolutely true, if you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, you're not one. If somebody says to you, what church do you go to? You simply clearly know what they're asking, but you say to them, well, wait a second. You mean, where does the church go? Because I am the church. I'm it. How many of you are the church? Before you got here, this was just a building. This is just a building. Until what? The church shows up. How many agree with that? To the building, so the church shows up. Aren't there a lot of buildings?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of buildings. But they're just buildings until what? Church shows up. And if we're not going to lead worship, and we're not going to be the example as the disciples, disciples led the parade, folks. They came into town, bringing Christ with them, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you do that too? Did you come in here this morning on a Sunday morning to worship him? Did you come in here today to give him praise?
Amen.
Did you come in here today to give him what is due him? Your undivided attention? Your undivided love? Does he want that? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Let's turn to Matthew 21, verses 12 to 13.
Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves."
In the temple, there's supposed to be praise. In the temple, there's supposed to be prayer. In the temple, there's supposed to be worship. That's what's supposed to be in the temple. But Jesus came in, and he found other things going on. He found people taking advantage of people coming to offer their offerings. He saw people selling sacrificial doves and sheep and things like that far more than that they were worth, so they would make a profit. He found people cheating people in the temple of the Lord. He found the temple of the Lord in the Holy of Holies to become like a flea market. That's what he found. A flea market. Bartering and bickering. And Jesus Christ said, "Hey, oh no, my Father's house will be a house of what?
Prayer.
House of prayer." And he went in, and what did he do?
Turned everything over.
And what do you do with those guys?
Threw them out.
That's why we do a flea market instead of a flea market. You can come in and take what? Whatever you want. No questions asked. And we pray that people, when they come in doing a free market, that they leave better than once they've come. But Jesus was angry. In fact, he was so angry that he started whipping, chasing people out. You see, that first Palm Sunday, there was a cleansing in the temple. And every one of us in this room are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are it. And Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday 2016 needs to clean the temple. He needs to clean the church. Now, yesterday we came and cleaned the building. We cleaned the building. I still have the brown paint on my shoes from painting that room downstairs. But we didn't clean the church. We cleaned the building. How many understand that?
Amen.
We clean the building, Christ cleans the church.
Amen.
And whether or not you were here yesterday doesn't matter, because you're still going to get cleaned up. And here's the question. Here's the question. If Jesus Christ came today to your temple, how many of us would he have to turn the tables over? If he came to your temple today, what would he have to drive out of the temple? If he came to your temple today, would he be angry with what he sees? Or would he be thankful for the cleaned temple that already has been cleaned? See, today, Palm Sunday 2016, it's time to clean the temple. It's time to clean the church. And for some of us, we probably think that there's some things in the temple that nobody sees. We kind of put it away. Which reminds me of a story about a young man who accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at an altar call. He was in his early 20s, and he was motivated to come and accept the Lord. And he said the sinner's prayer. And he invited the Lord Jesus into his life. And he felt the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the following Friday night, this young man was going to go out with his friends. And lo and behold, there was a knock on the door, which he thought was his buddies. And he opened the door, and there stood Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, well, you invited me into your life, and you wanted me to be your friend, and I told you I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, so here I am. And the man said, tonight? You want to come tonight? Jesus, I didn't know it was tonight. Would you mind coming back on Sunday? And Jesus said, well, no, I'm here. You invited me into your life. I'm here. Can I come in? And the man said, well, sure. No, wait a minute. Jesus. Wait. He goes and takes all the magazines off the table. Puts them under the couch. Of all the days he has to come, put them under the couch. Come on in, Jesus. Jesus sits down. And he said, hey, would you mind if I get myself something to drink? I'm a little thirsty. Oh, sure, Jesus. No, wait, Jesus, you wait here. I'll get it for you. Oh, of all the days he's got to come. All the days. Not that one, too. Of all the days he's got to come. Oh, my God. All the days he's got to come. He brings him a glass of water. And Jesus says, oh, you have one of those flat screen TV things. Would you mind if I watch a video? The man says, oh, go. No, I'll get it for you. Oh, not that one. Oh, definitely not that one. Where is the Ten Commandments? It's here somewhere. I know what it is. Where's Jesus' Messiah? It's got to be here somewhere. Jesus says, you have a computer. The man said, yeah. She said, well, how would you mind if I get on it? Wait a second, Jesus. I'll be right back. Delete. Oh, how do you get rid of the history? Delete. It's funny if it wasn't true. Isn't it? It's funny if it wasn't true. And so Jesus said, well, where are you going? Well, I'm going out with my friends. Hey, I want to go. Not tonight, Jesus. No, I want to go. I want your friends to be my friends. I am so proud of you that you've accepted me as your Savior. And I want to go meet your friends and tell them who I am. Not tonight, Jesus. Not tonight. But I want to be your friend. And the guy said, not tonight. And he was getting aggravated because Jesus was insisting on being a part of his life today. And the guy was getting so frustrated. He took his hands and nailed them to the wall. Stay put, Jesus. I'll come get you when I'm ready. I wonder if Jesus came to your temple today, would you have to do a cleaning before he arrives? There was a cleaning of the temple. There was obedience. There was worship. There was also curiosity. Because people were asking, who is this? Who is this person riding on that donkey? Who is this? This man that comes in riding on the donkey. People are curious. They come into our churches. They get their palm branches. And they're curious about this Jesus. Who is he? Who is this guy riding on that donkey? Who is this that they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna? Who is this? If they asked you, what would you say? Oh, you possible answers. You could simply say, well, he's the Son of God. Well, that would be true. He's the Son of God. That's true. But you know, you're also going to say, he's the Lord of my life. You could say that too. Somebody says, who is this Jesus? Why do you go to church and worship this Jesus for? You could say, well, Sunday. You're supposed to. Or you can say, if you have a couple minutes, let me explain to you why. If you got a couple minutes, let me explain to you why. Let me tell you how he changed my life. Let me tell you how I see things a whole lot different now than I ever did before. Let me tell you how I know my future is secure. Let me tell you how I know where I was and where I am now. Let me tell you how far I've come. You could say that, or you could just simply say, he's Jesus, he's the Son of God. There are many people today curious about who this Jesus is. They were curious back then too. So we know for sure there was obedience. We know for absolutely sure there was worship. We know that there was a cleansing. We know there was curiosity. We know those things. But there was one other thing that was going on that day. There were people who weren't happy with this Jesus. And they were plotting to what? Kill him. Opposition. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 21:15.
But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant.
The same people, the religious people, the ones who preached a good sermon, are now plotting to kill him. And these are who? These are the atheists? These are the agnostics? These are who? The priests. The religious people. The religious people. With all their rules and do's and don'ts and all their laws, and they can recite them tremendously well. They can point their finger at you and tell you all kinds of stuff, and what you're saying is wrong. They can take you one up and down the other. They can change anything. They can do whatever they want. They don't like something, they're going to change it. Because they know better than what? You. Legalists. The letter of the law. When people major in legalism, and they major in words, and they major in all these things, they're not Christians. They're religious people. Instead of having the book of grace, they have the book of rules. Instead of having the book of salvation and mercy, they got the book of the law. That's what's going on here. When you major in minor things, when you major in minor things, I'd love to talk to you about it. Because we ought to be majoring in the major things. And the major of all majors is Jesus Christ. And he said, I have come so that you may know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Let's turn to Matthew 21:23.
Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?
Who do you think you are, Christ? God? Well, as a matter of fact, by your words, not mine. Who gave you the authority to heal that leper? Who gave you the authority to raise Lazarus from the dead? Who gave you the authority to heal the little girl? Who gave you the authority that met the blind man see? Who gave you the authority to cast out demons? Who gave you the authority to tell that crippled man, pick up your mat and go? You didn't ask us for your permission. I don't remember you making an appointment with me, Christ, and asking me if it's okay. I don't remember the minutes in the meeting you coming. I don't remember you getting a quorum and having voted approved. Who do you think you are, Jesus? God? They were more concerned about their own power They were only concerned about their own prestige, their own ego. See, because if he is who he said he is, my position gets a little lower. That's the truth. I am convinced of this fact. If Jesus Christ came into some churches in the area of Pittsburgh and said, "Can I have a few minutes?" They say, "Not today, we don't have time." But if you show up next Sunday, we'll give you minutes for ministry. Is the church here today like that too? Are we too busy? Or are we too busy to let Christ be Christ? Or are we too entrenched in our own lives that we don't have time for Christ except for an hour and a half on a Sunday? By whose authority do you do these things? We don't like it. And because we don't like it, you're going to die. You're going to die. This morning, on Palm Sunday 2016, as we come in to this small gathering of church, why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here because you know you're going to get your palm branches? Well, we have some for you. We picked them up yesterday. Praise God. In case you're wondering why you got the kind you got, not what Sissy says, the little sticks. She was very persistent that we give you the branches, not the little sticks. She wanted to be the wave, not the little sticks. And I know some people where I work are hoping to get the little sticks. Because the little sticks can go by the picture of Jesus on the wall, they can replace it for next, last year.
Or on the dashboard.
How many, Or make the little crosses out of it. Make the little crosses out of it. Now, I'm not making fun of those things. They're nice to make the little crosses, you know, put it on your mirror or whatever that you do. Or like Kelly just said, put it on the dashboard of your car. Hey, that's all pretty cool, but you know, more important, put Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
Jesus in your heart will do a lot better than a palm cross.
Amen.
Jesus in your heart will do a lot more for you than that branch. So what are we going to do and why are we here? Why are we here? Well, the really good news is that I look out here and I see all of you. I know you're here to worship the Lord because you're here every Sunday to worship the Lord. So I can answer my own question. It's rhetorical. I don't need an answer because I see you. I see you. And I thank you. I thank you for the way that you honor the Lord by coming every Sunday. And He thanks you that you honor Him by your praise and your worship and your gifts. So Palm Sunday, 2016. Are you obedient? Are you obedient in all things? Are you worshiping Him? Or just singing your songs? And there's a difference. Are you singing your songs or are you worshiping Him? Are you still curious about who this Jesus is or do you now know who He is? Do you need a cleansing of your temple? Do you need something in your temple to be driven out? Or do you stand in opposition? Do you stand in opposition to who Jesus says He is? When they asked Jesus Christ, on whose authority? On whose authority? You know what He could have said? Mine. Mine. And also by my authority that my Father in heaven gives me. You know me. You claim me. By my authority, I will usher you into my Father's house. But also by my authority too. You don't know me. You shunned me. You do not take me as the Lord and Savior of your life. By my authority, you go to hell for the rest of eternity. By my authority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hearing of these words. Sometimes words are hard to hear. Sometimes, Lord, the truth is a difficult thing. Sometimes we like to hear the once upon a time and the land far, far away lived a king. And we want to hear all the good things. And at the end of the story, Lord, we want to hear, and they went to the kingdom and lived happily there ever after. Well, Lord God, it's more than a story. There's 66 books that contain the truth. If we truly, truly, truly want to live in the Father's house here ever after, we better know the rest of the story. So, Lord God, help us, Lord, to clean the temples, to be obedient, to be worshipful. No longer be curious. We know who you are, and we do not stand in opposition. We stand alongside you. A lot of God's children said,